everyone. Welcome back to the Letters and Layers podcast, where I share all things books, mental health, life lessons, personal experiences, streams of consciousness, and everything in between. This is your host, Amaka. It is Saturday, May 1st. Ooh, excuse me. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. It is Saturday, March 1st. When I'm recording, it's about 8 a.m. The goal is to get this recorded, edited, and published before noon Eastern time. And it is a little cloudy outside. The wind might keep me company during this recording. You might hear it. I don't know if it's going to be caught on the microphone, but it's been a little windy and I've been hearing some whistling. So you may or may not hear that in the background, but it's fine. It's nature. It wants to make its presence known, which I'm totally okay with. Before we move on, I want to encourage you guys to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Share this episode when you're done if you loved it and you think other people will love it. I am trying to get the 5-star reviews on Spotify to double digits. So if you are listening on Spotify and you haven't subscribed, do that first. Listen to this episode, listen to a couple more if you are moved to, and leave me a review. Rate it 5 stars. You know you love it. You know you want to share it. And I would really appreciate it. So I just wanted to get that out the way. I hope those are listening are doing well. If it's a little bit of a tougher time, I'm sending love and strength to you. And I'm looking forward to the topic that I discussed in this episode, as you can see from the title. I think it'll be a good one. They're always good ones, but I actually had something else planned for today. And earlier this week, this idea came to me and I was like, okay, God, you're bringing this topic to me. What do you want me to share? And then not long after, I started to get the details and like the suggestions for the content of this episode. And I quickly wrote it down. So I'm excited to dive into what I hope will be an insightful episode for you guys and help you, no matter how small what you take might be. I hope that it makes a difference. So how am I doing quickly? I'm doing well. I can't complain. I mentioned on some episodes back that I have re-embarked on the journey with braces, and that journey started last fall in October. But we have kind of started a new phase of this process. When I got the braces in October, I only got the top row because the office that I started everything with, you know, did the assessment, took my x-rays and everything, and they thought it was best to realign my top row first before doing the bottom row. My motivation for restarting this process, I got braces in high school, but I thought it would be good for me to do it again. Ultimately, the reason why I wanted to get braces again was for my bottom row. There is some misalignment in my front area that wasn't too noticeable a few years back, but I think it's gotten more noticeable, and I honestly am starting to feel self-conscious about it. I don't know if I've mentioned that on the podcast, and I really don't want anything to, especially appearance-wise, to hold me back or not allow me to be my full self, regardless of what setting or environment I'm in. So I was like, you know what? I think this is a good time as any to take care of this. So that's when I decided to get the ball rolling, got the top row in October, and I got the bottom row this week, Thursday. So After getting used to the top row braces, I am now having to kind of restart that process, get used to the bottom row of metal and wire. I decided to go the traditional route. I did not do Invisalign. The top row is pretty clear. Like, you won't really know I have braces unless you're like right in front of me. And even then, I might have to point it out to you. But the bottom row is like full metal. So thankfully, you know, the bottom lip primarily covers the bottom row. You can't really see it, but I just kind of have to get used to its presence in my mouth. And remembering from October, that took a couple weeks. The first week was the hardest, but with each passing day, it gets a little better. So I am looking forward to kind of having everything settle in and feeling like a part of me and having this phase of adjustment be behind me. So that's probably the most, as far as changes go, between the last episode and this one, that's probably the most prominent change. But, you know, otherwise, working, staying busy, trying to remain creative, and I will share a couple of creative inspirations in a moment that have, you know, kind of kept me going. I have found that in my journey to rediscover my creativity and stay creative, it's helpful to keep being inspired. I've been to a couple of art galleries, which I might have mentioned on the last episode. That was great. I want to do more, especially with the warmer weather, the spring and summer coming. I stumbled upon this really great Black female artist on Instagram. Her name is Janae Michelle. I actually bought a piece from her on her website called Smoke Don't Lie, But People Do. I bought an 18 by 24 piece. I'm really excited to receive it. I know exactly where it's going to go in my apartment. But I really love how she uses color and lines to create dimension and people in her work. I really appreciate how she uses the color black to create depth and make you think. And this specific piece made a statement to me. And what made me pull the trigger is because my husband and I at times have varying tastes in art. We enjoy going to see art together, even if we don't always agree that we like the pieces. He might like it, I might be indifferent, or maybe I don't like it. Things I might like, he might be indifferent, or just not like, you know. That just speaks to, even though we're a unit, we're still very different individuals, which I really appreciate. And I think adds a layer of quality to our relationship. So one thing that made me pull the trigger for this piece is because I saw it, I loved it, and I was like, is he gonna like it? I showed it to him and he took a couple seconds, but he was like, I like it. I was like, oh, you do? So for the fact that he likes this piece and I like this piece, I was like, okay, we're gonna get it. So I bought it. I bought it last week. It's gonna take a few weeks to get here, but I already ordered the frame. I'm very excited. And I know exactly where it's going to go. So yeah, I really love her work. I love her use of color. I love how she uses it to create depth. I love the focus of Black people in the art. I love that it looks like it could have been painted, but it's actually digital media. In my opinion, it looks like it could have been painted and drawn. Because there's a quality, there's like a painting quality and a drawing quality to the pieces, but it's actually digital media that she uses to create the, you know, what she sees, what she wants to make. So I will put a link in the show notes to her work if you want to kind of peruse her website And if you see anything you like and you want to patronize, I, you know, obviously encourage you to do so. And her name, like I said, is Janae Michelle. Some other things that have continued to inspire me are some YouTube videos. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but over the summer, I might have, maybe not. I discovered this YouTube channel around my birthday called Homeworthy. And it's an interior design channel where the production team goes into people's homes all over the country, all over the US and the world. And they showcase the beauty of these homes and their different qualities and how they reflect, you know, their locations and the interests of the owner and their travels and their experiences and what they've collected through their lives and how they've kind of decorated their space and made it a home. So, like I said, I found this channel around my birthday last year, July, and I have fallen in love with it, and it has inspired me so much. It's part of the reason why I got a little bit more serious about decorating our apartment space. And I used to think, you know, depending on how long I'm planning to be in a space, sometimes I decided in the past that it wasn't really worth it to put effort into decorating it. But I think my perspective on that has changed. I'm now of the mind that, honestly, it doesn't even matter how long I'm in a space. If I can make tweaks here and there, if I can add things, art, sculptures, furniture, that really allow me to feel more at home, make it feel like me, make it feel like a personal space, make it feel like somewhere I'd want to retreat and come back to when the day is over or whenever, then it's worth it. It doesn't even matter if it's a few months. So I know we're going to be in our space for at least another year, maybe more. So I was like, you know what? From the middle of last year, I was like, I'm going to start to devote some time and energy and money to making our space what it could be, really realize its potential. And I've been doing that slowly with art pieces and some furniture, and it's coming together. So I'm very excited for this Janae Michelle piece that I bought. Like I said, I know where it's going to go. And I think a lot of that inspiration has come from this channel. Most recently, there have been two Homeworthy feature videos that have really inspired me. And one of them I actually shared with my friends who I meet with monthly, and we talk about creative pursuits. It is a place in London, and the owner, her name is Natasha Landers, and she lives in this townhome, I think, but. And she's an interior designer. Just the way she's put color together and used color and prints in ways that would be thought of as unconventional. Like her kitchen floor is yellow, and her window, her shades are like made of some type of recycled plywood. Maybe it's not plywood, but it's a type of wood. She talks about it in the video. I'm going to link both of them in the show notes. She uses prints in a really cool way. There's a lot of story behind the pieces in her home, the furniture, the art, and it's just a really inspiring space, in my opinion. So I'll share it. Another video that came out maybe even 2 days ago is of this Brooklyn townhome in New York owned by a black couple. Their names are Skylar and Temi. They are creatives in the corporate and, you know, general creative space. And they are just really beautiful spirits as people. And they have allowed themselves to kind of be free in how they decorate their home. They have a vinyl room, which I love. And it's like a beautiful darker color of blue. They use lime wash. They use like green lime wash on their walls in their bedroom. They have really cool furniture in their living room. They have showcased and organized pieces that they've collected from around the world, Portugal, Tokyo, in their space. They're really fashionable people. Like, I love their outfits that they wore in the videos. So I sat and watched that video through, and I also sat and watched Natasha's video through. So I really enjoyed both features. I'm going to include them in the show notes in case you're interested in watching. And these are just two features that stick out to me. One, because they're the most recent. Two, because they're Black people. And Homeworthy, I really appreciate them making an intentional effort to have Black people and non-white people on the channel, you know, just kind of have everybody, because I feel like that alone diversifies what you see as far as people's inspirations for creativity and how they approach decorating their homes based off of history, based off of experience, because everyone's is different. And it really just adds an added layer of quality and enjoyment to the channel. So I will link both. If you subscribe, that's great. I think it's a great content channel, and I really enjoy it. So I hope if you guys explore it that you enjoy it too. So yeah, that's as far as inspiration for creativity goes, those are the most recent avenues that I've kind of drawn inspiration from. And like I said, I'm looking forward to going to more art exhibits and museums this summer. There is a Mexican-American museum in my backyard, and I've yet to go to that. So I want to prioritize that within the next like month or so. And yes, also one more thing. I have an Instagram for the podcast now, which is a mix of podcast clips and quotes and concepts and art inspiration. So if you are interested, curious, inclined to go to the page, inclined to follow, I would really appreciate it. So yeah, I am excited to dive into the main topic of this episode. Like I said, I had something else planned, but this kind of came to me and God kind of like just gave me everything that he wanted me to say. So I've talked in the past about the inner child and how our experiences growing up, childhood, teenagehood, adolescence, even younger than, you know, kind of like toddlerhood even, their experiences that maybe we might not always remember in their entirety. But our body remembers, and it impacts how we show up in the world as adults. It impacts what we think we're allowed to do as adults. And my intent for this segment is to encourage you to think a little bit more outside the box with what you can do as an adult that you may think, oh, is only for kids. And I ask you to keep an open mind, because there might be one or two suggestions that you're like, this might feel a little weird if I do this. One in particular. But I did this exercise, one of the exercises for myself. And I was very surprised at how much I enjoyed it. So, you know, obviously I'm going to share it with you guys. And I hope that even if it's one thing that you take and you do, if it unlocks a memory, a positive memory for you, if it inspires you to have it be a regular practice, if it's something that helps to de-stress you, if it's something that helps to center you, if it's something that helps you to reconnect with yourself, then I've done my job. This episode has done its job. I don't know if you hear the wind. There was a whistle there. So yeah, ways to begin healing and reconnecting with your inner child. I feel like I've been on this journey for a long time. I could maybe even say decades at this point, because I'm 35, turning 36 soon. And I, especially over the last decade, have looked back and thought through and processed a lot of experiences from childhood, even like toddlerhood, adolescence, early adulthood. And I have been more intentional over the past, let me even say year or so, to let go of any embarrassment or limiting beliefs around what I can do for fun, what I can do for creativity, what I can do to reconnect to my inner child and make them happy, make sure they're okay, make sure they feel safe. And there are certain things that I now do every so often, even on a maybe semi-regular basis, that allow me to just kind of have moments of joy, more moments of joy and happiness. And I don't think these are things that I'm going to stop. In my pursuit to spend less time on social media, one thing that I have noticed is that I like to keep my hands occupied. I think that's part of the reason why I often grab my phone and scroll. So I'm like, okay, I have realized this about myself. So what can I do? What can I do to replace that grabbing the phone, scrolling, thumb going up and down feeling? It doesn't even necessarily have to be that specific motion, but how can I occupy my hands more? So I have started like braiding lanyard again, which is something I did in middle school. I have started blowing bubbles randomly. I started blowing bubbles randomly during the day. My husband and I went to a wedding last week out of town. And one of the cool features of the wedding was like they had these bubble guns. So the bubbles I have at home, they're like the typical, you know, little bottle. You pull out the wand, you blow like a bubble at a time. But these bubble guns were next level. And I feel like my inner child was in awe of what I was seeing. When, as like the bride and groom were coming out, the reception was starting, a lot of the bridal party had these bubble guns, and they would press and hold the handle, and all these little mini bubbles would shoot out, and it made me giddy. It made me so happy to see them. So I was like, babe, I need one of these bubble guns. And I was like, I think I'm going to order them when we get home. And he's like, don't even worry about it. I'm going to get one of them for you. So we left. We left the wedding with one of the bubble guns. And I had to, I feel like people were looking at me at the airport coming back, because my husband was like, should we leave it in our suitcase? Like, is it going to cause an issue with security? He was like, you should probably just hold it in your hand through pre-check, put it in one of the separate bins. So going through the line, I feel like I had some eyes on me, because I had my bag, like everything per usual. And then I had a bubble gun in my hand. And when I got to the front of the line, I put the bubble gun in the bin on its own. It went through, no issue. Thank God. I feel like maybe people who saw it in my hand thought that I was holding it for a child. Little did they know that bubble gun is for me. If you're interested, I can also link that too. But the amount of joy that toy gave me as a full-grown 30-something-year-old woman, honestly, I am going to completely honor it. Because I love bubbles. I love bubbles. I don't know if there are memories from childhood that maybe I don't quite remember, or maybe I haven't unlocked them yet. I love them so much. I can blow bubbles all day. There's just one of those things that perpetually entertain me. That and watching planes fly through the sky. Not just like like how I'm facing a bay window right now and I see planes flying. Even with that, sometimes like if I'm working and I see a plane, I'll just keep watching it because we're kind of on a flight path, but not too close to the airport. So a lot of times there are planes flying and I can catch them. So sometimes like I'll see them and I'll follow them until I can't see them anymore. But what I mean is like, maybe this is even a thing. Like I wish airports had this ability or like means where you could like pay for like non-flight tickets so that you could just go to the best place in the airport and watch airplanes take off and land. Because I don't think it matters how old I am. I will always be amazed by aviation engineering and the fact that like I understand how it works, but from like a childlike perspective, it still is so awe-inspiring for me. I could literally watch planes take off and land all day. I would never get tired, and I feel like that's my inner child that just enjoys that so much. Same with bubbles. I can blow bubbles all day. I enjoy that so much. So we got the bubble gun. We brought it home. My husband and I have had a few like little mini bubble gun parties. And those are just moments of joy that just add a little bit of happiness to the day. And there are points of connection that you guys have together. It's not something you even have to do with anyone, but like, if it's something that I did by myself, I'd probably just put on some music or a song real quick and just like blow the bubbles from the gun for a few minutes and just like elevate my mood and have that continue to carry me through the day. I feel like there are a lot of ways to connect with our inner child that aren't so elaborate, aren't so complicated, but can make us so happy. So yeah, those are two things that I really enjoy. Blowing bubbles, watching planes. I could do that all day. Braiding lanyard. I used to really enjoy that when I was younger, and I still enjoy it now. I remember seeing this outrageous. I remember seeing this outrageous. It was on one of those like fashion websites. Maybe it was like Anthropology or Free People, like one of those type of websites that were selling a lanyard, braided lanyard. It wasn't even that long, for $20-something. I don't even remember. But I was like, you guys are capitalizing off of something that I used to make. I used to start lanyard. There are people that like have issue with starting lanyard braids and like ask people to do it for them and then they'll continue. I can actually start lanyard braids. And I'm just like, people are charging crazy amounts for braided lanyard that I can do in my sleep. You know, it's having these memories and then kind of seeing how it's being used in present day just kind of really boggles the mind for me. But yeah, I'm really enjoying these ways of connecting to my childhood and just adding moments of joy to my day. And, you know, it's just, it feels really, really light and it's beautiful. And I'm encouraging you guys to find that for yourself. You know, order a pack of bubble bottles with wands and just blow them. You know, you might be surprised by how much you enjoy it. So the blowing bubbles, the braiding lanyard. And one thing that I want to get into again is ceramics and sculpting. I've searched for these classes in Chicago a few times and they're always sold out. So I haven't been able to do it in like a more uniform and classroom setting, but I am considering like buying like a block of clay or something. I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but it's just one of those things that occupies my hands although it has to be more of like an intentional time. I can't really, it's not like blowing bubbles and braiding lanyard where you can take a minute or two during downtime in your workday and just do that. That has to be kind of more like dedicated time, but it's something that I want to get back into. And it kind of satisfies my desire to keep my hands busy. It satisfies my desire to create. When I was in high school, I took a ceramics class. For one of our, like, for our final project for the class, we had to make a final ceramics piece. And I remember doing a take on a piggy bank, but instead of an actual piggy bank, I made a treasure chest. And, you know, it had a slit on the top and it was intended to kind of put coins inside and things like that. It had that little escape hatch kind of at the bottom where you can plug a little like plastic stopper. And then when you are ready to take out all the money, whether it's cash or coins, you could do that. And I'm sad that I don't know what I did with that treasure chest. I don't know if maybe I decided to donate it with, you know, kind of in transition with my many moves over the years. I don't know why I would even consider doing that, but it is somewhere. I don't think it's in my possession anymore, which makes me sad, but it's just one of those things that I remember really enjoying as a teenager, you know, being in that class, always looking forward to that class because it was once a week. And being able to express my creativity, being around other people who loved sculpture and ceramics and were expressing their creativity in different ways. And it's something that I want to tap back into. There's definitely a connection there from, you know, adolescence. So those are just a few things that I wanted to share. And I recently did an exercise that I think people might think is a little more out there and a little more crazy. But if you do this for yourself, let me know what comes up for you. Let me know how you experience it. Because I just started, there was no intention behind it, but I kept going and I was like, oh, wow, like I really enjoyed doing this. So backstory. When one of my earliest memories in childhood was being in a play. This might have been like kindergarten. I think it was kindergarten. We put on a play, and I don't know how many folks are familiar with the story Rainbow Fish. The play was on the book Rainbow Fish, and I was the star of the play. I was the rainbow fish in our kindergarten play. So, like I said, one of my earliest memories is the rainbow fish costume and the beautiful sparkly scales. If you don't know the premise of the book, so there is this rainbow fish that has these beautiful, sparkly, iridescent scales. And the rainbow fish is the envy of all the fishes in the sea. And all the fish are like, rainbow fish, can you share your scales with me? I want to be like you, this, that, and the other. So the rainbow fish is like, no, I don't have time for you guys. I'm here being awesome and swimming through the sea, and I will do no such thing. I will not share my scales with you. So it gets to the point where the rainbow fish continues to be stingy with the scales, and everyone kind of like is sad and swims away. And the rainbow fish has no one else to be around and spend time with and starts to feel sad. And the rainbow fish is like, what's going on? Why do I feel this way? I'm beautiful. I'm iridescent. I'm sparkling. I have these beautiful scales. Why am I sad? So eventually, one small fish, maybe that has not encountered the rainbow fish before, sees the rainbow fish and is like, rainbow fish, you are so beautiful. Can I have one of your scales? And the rainbow fish in this instance reconsiders and gives one of its scales to the fish. And the fish is so happy. It's like swimming to, like in circles to its heart's content and swims away. And then even though the fish swims away, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but I actually have the book. I ordered the book a few weeks ago and I have it. And yeah, let me get back to the story before I continue. The rainbow fish starts to feel these feelings of positive feelings, like this feeling of satisfaction of sharing. And I think it's a story about sharing, essentially, as young children, the joy in sharing things with people and experiencing things together. So the rainbow fish shares a scale with the fish. It's ecstatic. It gets other fish to come. And because the rainbow fish feels so positive about that exchange and that experience of sharing its scales with that one fish, it starts to share its other scales with the other fish. And at the end of the story, the rainbow fish ends up with having only one sparkly scale left. So physically, it's not as beautiful as it was before, but it has shared almost all of its scales with all of the fish, and it is feeling a sense of joy and love and community with the other fish that replaces the more superficial feelings of its appearance, you know? So it's a beautiful story, and it's a good lesson to learn as children. So this book was turned into the play. I was the star. I was the rainbow fish. I remember very, very vaguely the costume that almost like took up my entire body. And I remember the scales, and I remember the Velcro that stuck the scales onto the costume. I remember the part in the play where I was starting to pluck off the scales and give it to all the other kids who were other fish. So every so often I remember that memory, and I decided to buy the book. So I bought the book. Let me just grab it quickly. I bought the book. It's called Rainbow Fish. The author is Marcus Pfister, Pfister. And when I got the book a couple weeks ago, I took it out of this package and I just held it and I started flipping through it and I started to cry. I started to sob. And it wasn't like it wasn't for a negative reason or, you know, sadness. It was just, I felt like I had taken a key and literally unlocked this memory. And I was so excited. So I took the book to the bedroom, like when I was done working for the day, and I actually started reading the book. I was reading in my mind, and I started to read out loud, and then I started to be more animated with the sounds, you know, with the conversations in the book. And I surprised myself at how much I enjoyed doing that, reading it out loud, looking at the visuals and imagery in the book, being animated with the conversation amongst the fish. And I am sharing this because I want to encourage you guys to do this for yourself. If you have childhood books that you remember really enjoying, buy them. Buy them for yourself. Buy them for yourself. If you have kids, you can share them with your kids, obviously, but buy them for you. You know, receive them, open them, remind yourself of how much you enjoyed these books. If you want to take it a step further, like me, read them aloud, animate the conversations and the narrations, and see if you enjoy them as much as I did. So this is the suggestion that I thought people might think is a little crazy, but you know, I don't care. It brought me a sense of happiness. I was really excited to do this and connect with myself, my younger self, in this way. Because like I said, this is one of my, I can remember very few things from as young as 5 years old. And I remember that this had to have been kindergarten because by first grade, I think I was in another school entirely. So this is one of my earliest memories, and I am very thankful that I still can remember and hold on to it. And now I have a physical item to kind of crystallize that for me. And it's something that I'm excited to share with my kids, you know, when that time of my life comes. And yeah, it's just brought me so much joy. It's brought me so much joy. So if you want to buy the book Rainbow Fish, just a quick search online, it'll come up. If you have children's books in mind that you know you really enjoyed and you want to do this, I recommend it so much to do. And I hope you enjoy getting the books, opening the packages, reliving these childhood memories. Maybe you'll get as emotional as I did and have that be something for yourself. So yeah, the next and last suggestion that I have is to write some letters to a couple people. I have done this exercise for myself to a degree, but it's something that I want to do because I think it'll be, you know, it's been an ongoing healing process for me with certain aspects of childhood and how I saw myself and limiting beliefs and stuff like that. So this is an exercise that I've started but need to kind of continue. I encourage folks to write a letter to their younger self, and you can choose the age or the phase that you want to address the letter to. If I were to write a letter to my younger self today, I would tell my younger self that everything is going to be okay, and that your intuition is very rarely wrong, and that you should always follow your gut, and that you are smarter, just as smart as anyone, if not smarter. I would tell myself that I don't have to take things so seriously. I don't have to freak out so much when a perceived like problem comes and I have to kind of deal with things. I would tell myself that I am worthy as a person, that my voice matters, and to use that voice and to be confident in what I have to say. Those are just a few things that I would tell my younger self. Another letter that I would write, it would be two, actually. I would write a letter to anyone who I feel like had a negative impact on me, just so that I'm able to kind of process those feelings. Because there's no intention to, in my case at least, there's no intention to share that letter with the person or people, but just to get those emotions out, no matter what form they take. Write the letter to anyone who maybe discouraged me when it came to creative pursuits, or, you know, discouraged me from doing anything I wanted to do, maybe became a voice in my head that made me shrink myself or made me be small. I would write a letter just kind of expressing how I feel in that regard as an adult, and maybe burn it, maybe rip it, maybe throw it away, maybe keep it. The beauty of these processes is that you can really dictate how you want to go about it. And then I would write a letter to the people who were inspirations to me when I was younger, people who cared about me, people who made it a point to check in with me if they thought that things were off or I wasn't reaching my potential or doing my best. Specifically, I had this English teacher in high school. I won't say who he is, but if there's by chance anyone who went to Holy Trinity with me that in the slightest chance is listening to this episode, you know who I'm talking about. The English teacher who was the English teacher who always blared metal music out of his classroom. He was so beloved. And I think he might still be teaching there. Maybe he has moved on to other things because he was a teacher, but he was also in a band. He was great. He was amazing. Oh my God. Mr. Lemos, I'm just going to say it. Mr. Lemos, I had him for sophomore and junior year of English. We would read these pieces of English literature. I remember reading Of Mice and Men. I remember reading A Raisin in the Sun. And he was really great about animating himself when he read. So that really made these experiences memorable. So yeah, I would write a letter to him. I would thank him so much for being such an amazing teacher. I remember there was a point in, I think it was my junior year, we had to write an essay for something. And I was really haphazard and indifferent with the product that I submitted. And he made it a point to ask me, is everything okay? Like, this is not your work. You do great work. Like, what was going on here? I don't know what I told him. I think, honestly, I was just being lazy, or I procrastinated and then I didn't turn in great work. But I appreciated him checking in with me about that. I appreciated that he didn't take himself so seriously. And I think he's one of the people that I remember when I'm reminding myself to stay passionate about what you love, because his music was loud, but we always enjoyed passing his classroom. We enjoyed him as a person. We enjoyed him as a teacher. I appreciated his care and concern in moments that, you know, it was warranted. I appreciated that he didn't take himself too seriously. And I have remembered him time and time again through college, through early 20s, through 30s. And he's just been one of those people that I remember fondly growing up. So I'd probably write a letter to him just thanking him for the seeds of encouragement and inspiration that he planted. So yeah, off the top of my head, I think that's the approach that I would take with those letters. And I think doing some or all of these things that I've shared have helped with approaching life as an adult, as a 30-something year old. It's helped me reconnect with my younger self. It's helped me not take things so seriously, creatively and otherwise. It's helped me to, no matter how strange or cringe it might be, honor the desires of my inner child, whether it's reading children's books to myself or dancing in my apartment and blowing bubbles, or keeping my hands busy by braiding lanyard. These are ways that I have been able to add little sparks of joy to my day, and they have made a world of difference. So I hope there, even if it's a little piece of information that I've shared in this episode, I hope something has inspired you to look back, think back, what made you happy as a child? What activities did you really enjoy? How can you reconnect to them as an adult? If you buy any children's books that you were fond of as a kid, let me know, email me, DM me on Instagram. All that information will be in the description box. 'Cause I'd love to know. I'd love to know. So yeah, I'm going to end the podcast there. I have to chop this up, get it out for you guys before it gets too late in the day. I appreciate you listening. If you got to the end of this episode, as always, if you even spend a minute with me, if you spent this episode with me, past episodes with me, I appreciate you so much. Thank you. Thank you for the support. Follow on Instagram, email me if there's anything you want to share. Send this episode or other episodes to people. Please rate, please recommend. Let's get our 5 stars to double digits on the podcast this year. I would love that so much. And yeah, thank you guys for listening. I will talk to you on the next episode. Bye.